take my big cup.
God bless you, preacher. Amen. Well, let me do what I always do, an ambassador. I'm trying to be as comfortable as I can. I am really, you said to somebody, I'm nervous. But here's what I do, what ambassador. I get up the podium, I shout, God is good. And the congregation shouts all the time. And then I say, all the time. And then they shout, God is good. And I pick up something from Brother Tony Shirley. It's good to be saved. And everybody pump their fists in the air and say, sure. How many of you all guys have basketball teams that you follow and you love? Basketball. No basketball?
Football, church.
We're football. Shoot. How about football? How many people? I was really shooting that you all guys won. I was, because I knew I was coming here. I'm serious. I didn't know much about the other side, but the name of the other team that lost is from the area here. Yeah. And I was really hoping that they would have won. But when your guys score goal, you all guys just say, goal?
Yeah.
Or touchdown? Yeah. Do you all guys just sit down and say, touchdown?
No. Yeah!
Yeah! And in fact, what I was saying, I have a passion for everything. I love sports. I mean, I played all competitively. And that same passion that I had in my unsaved days has continued in my Christian life. Amen. And I'm here, but by the grace of God, and a lot of impediments that could hinder us if we look for things to prevent us from serving God. But God is greater than all these life impediments. Amen. That you and I face. And we are here for a short time. And one of these days in glory, we will just look and just laugh and say, thank God we continued. It was tough as far as the chikungunya and all that stuff. I guess I still have the effects of it. I think I still have the effects of chikungunya. But I really mean that. If possible, I'll go back tomorrow. I would. The hunger of the Haitian people for the gospel really caught my attention. And please pray. I want to repeat what I said this morning. Your pastor is one of a kind.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Your pastor is one of a kind.
Amen.
We'll probably sometime in the week preach on leadership. Here's what I found out as a pastor. God gives the pastor a burden. God always works through authority. Let me say that again. God works through authority. And God calls a man, gives the man a burden, and the people follow the man, and wonderful things are done. Amen?
Amen.
And he's one of a kind.
Yes.
Not many like him.
No.
And I've grown to love him.
Amen.
And share that passion for souls. And you don't find that often. And willing to leave comfort and go where others would not go. It's not just speak it, but it's leave it. And I thank God for him. I really do. And I pray God give me even half of what he has and that burden, passion he has. Again, revival is God speaking to us. God stirring us up. God convicting us of sin in our lives. Maybe your pastor is, maybe you are, but I'm surely not perfect. And I need to be constantly reminded of that in the preaching of the Word of God. And I pray as from this morning that you not just listen to the message, say amen,
amen,
and come to me and shake my hands and say, boy, that was a good message. I pray that this would not just be all there is to be about coming here. I pray that God, you allow God to open our hearts and let God speak to us and let God make the changes he wants to make in our lives. That's how it's beneficial. This afternoon, Brother Aaron and his wife took us out to a Mexican place. And saying to Brother Joel, it's not the Caribbean. The Caribbean stuff is ground provision, dashing, yam, green figs, you know, and breadfruit and all this stuff. And I enjoy that. When I'm not in the Caribbean, I eat what I can. And I enjoy the Mexican food this afternoon. I eat all what was on my plate. But if I just look at it and say, man, that's nice, it would be of no effect to me, of no use. So our heart this week is that God would really speak to you. Whether it's me who preach, or Brother Adrian, or your pastor, what we need to do is give heed to the Word of God. That's when it's profitable for us. And so I'm going to preach a lot about our spirit, about our attitude. I'm going to preach a lot about things that are not often spoken of in our lives, that hinders revival. Brother Joel, I believe if we are revived, sinners will be saved. Listen, if the church gets it right, the unsaved will come in. God still has power to save. And where sin abound, grace did much more. God is still able to save the hardcore. What is absolutely needed is the church gets it right. Is that his people get it right and that we're not comfortable with where we're at. And I'm going to, with God's help, preach from Psalm 78. And please pray. Message this morning is not an easy message to preach, and this one either. Because as you preach, it reveals your own heart. It challenges you. God's Spirit convicts us. Even as I'm preaching. Psalm 78. Again, let's all stand. We'll read a few verses, jump here and there, and try to develop a pattern here. I believe God... I hope that God would open our eyes to see something. Psalm 78, look at verse number 17. Psalm 78, verse number 17. Let's read verse number 17 together. The Bible says, and they sinned yet more against him by the Most High God in the wilderness. Look at verse 40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness? And what? Look at verse 56 through to verse 58. Verse 56 through to 58. Yet they tempt and provoked the Most High God, his testimonies. Our Father, again, thank you for the wonderful time so far. Thank you for the singing. God, I feel the heart of the pastor who loves his people and wants revival, desire to see his people go up the next level. God, would you please grant that desire? Would you please destroy the plans of the enemy? God, would you please open our hearts, open our eyes, our heirs. God, I need your help. It's not by might or mono presentation, but by your spirit. So hide me tonight behind the cross and take your word and exalt yourself. We ask in Christ and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. I want to begin by asking a question. You would realize that about five times there is a phrase that is repeated in Psalm 78. And it's found in verse number 17, 40, 56 through 80, through 58. It has to do, Bible says, and they sin yet more against him by what? Provoking the Most High God. In verse number 40, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness? Verse 56, yet they tempted and provoke the Most High God. Verse 58, for they provoked him to anger. Now I want us to understand, these are his people. These are God's people, the Jews, who God brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And as the church in the wilderness, the nation of Israel, so the church today, and the question that comes to me, Preacher Byron, is, can God's people provoke him? Can you and I provoke God to action? Now, God is a God of love. Amen. Amen. God is a God of second chance, and we will see that sometime this week. I am convinced that we as believers know exactly what we're supposed to be doing. I'm convinced it is not because we do not know, but it's because we harden our hearts and determine, come high heavens, I'll do what I want anyways. From preaching this morning, and then preaching tonight. This morning, preacher, I had great liberty. I'm sure you've faced that. You go to some churches, brother, you struggle to preach. When I go to church and there's liberty, it tells me a lot about the pastor of the church. It tells me a lot about the atmosphere behind the pulpit. So I believe Brother Brian has been doing a wonderful job in preaching. Wouldn't you say that?
Amen. Amen.
Wonderful job in preaching and teaching. So let me ask you a question. Why is there not revival? Let me ask you a question. Why are we still doing what is wrong? You and I can get to a place where we can provoke God to action. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Listen, preaching, especially in the climate we have today, people believe preaching is entertainment. Make me feel good, preacher. Give me the best joke, preacher. List your message with jokes. So all of us are just laughing like, yak, 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 yak. And we leave church and go home and say, boy, we had a wonderful time. We come to church with issues in our lives. We come to church with sin in our lives. And we leave the church with more problems. The unsaved will walk in the church and feel at home. That bothers me. That somebody who's not saved can come to church and be comfortable. Preaching should provoke. Preaching should bring conviction. Preaching should elevate us to a different level. That we can see ourselves not in the light of the other person that we like to compare ourselves with, but that we can see ourselves in light of the Word of God and make adjustments. And as I examine the text, I see the nation of Israel had a problem. And I see Christians today have the same problem. We think we're on holidays. We think it's entertainment. Now, I'm not saying we sit stoic and don't have a good time in church, but too often we leave church and no conviction, no change. And then your unsaved husband, your unsaved wife, your unsaved relative says, what's the use? And we keep going through the routine. I'll come church Sunday morning. I'll come church Sunday night. I'll come church midweek service. I'll come church revival. But I'm determined not to change. Let's note concerning provoking God to anger. As I examine this, by the way, to provoke means to motivate someone to bitterness. To provoke means to cause one to grieve. It means to move someone to anger, provoke. It means to push someone to the limit. Provoke can cause one to rebel. Can God be moved to anger? There are three ways that we can provoke God to anger. I'll briefly give you the first two and then spend some time on the third. God can be provoked to anger, preacher, when we doubt him. Note me verse 22. God can be provoked to anger when we doubt him. Look at verse 22. Because they believe not in God, and trusted not in his salvation. Now I want you to understand, verse 17 comes before that verse. Verse 22. In spite of all what God did for the nation of Israel, the marvelous things he's done for them, yet still they did not believe that God was able. They doubted him. Can I ask you a question? Has God been good to you? Could you put your hands up? If you're in America, God is good to you.
Amen.
You need to go to the Caribbean. You need to go to Haiti. You need to go to Mexico. You need to take a mission trip and go somewhere that's poor. And you come back here, you will thank God for what he's given you here. Amen. You'll kiss the ground here. You're blessed. Yes. Could I say that again? You're blessed. Stop complaining.
Amen.
But sometimes, in spite of, who's the training to be a lawyer? How old are you?
16.
Listen, young people, you have opportunities in America that you do not have elsewhere. Mm-hmm. At 16, this guy. What's your name, brother?
Sure.
How long have you been in school getting ready to be a lawyer?
1 year.
Wow. God bless you.
Amen.
Your parents here? Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there are so many opportunities here that God have showed himself mighty and showed himself strong on your behalf. Daily providing, daily taking care of you. And then a little thing happens and we doubt God is able. And when God has consistently been good to us, you and I face issues sometimes and situations where we say, God is not able. You didn't believe in the God. You know, we preach it, we sing it sometimes until it hits home. We could really spend time there, but I'm saying we provoke God to anger when we doubt him, when we don't believe in him. Don't believe that God is able. Listen to me. God is well. Listen, preacher, God knows about that building. God knows. God knows about your problems. Hey, if God can save you, God can take care of you.
Amen.
So when we doubt him, you know, one of the things I've mentioned that so many times, experience in Haiti. And that day after the conference when we met with the pastors, that really moved me, preacher. And the missionary who was there had some used shoes to give to these men. Used shoes, and these guys hugged that. So grateful for the little they got. God is good. Not just by saying, but God is good. Stop doubting God. So when we doubt God, we provoke him to anger. But secondly, when we are discontent with what God has done for us, we provoke God to anger. But God provided food for them. And in the text, God provided food for them. God kept them. God protected them. God became the all-sufficient God to the nation of Israel. Yet still they say, let's go back to Egypt. God took them out of slavery. God blessed them. God protected them. And one small thing came up. And they said, Moses, your brothers had to kill us. It's best we were back in Egypt. But I'm telling you, if there is time that is showing so much discontent with God and the blessings of God, is today. Discontent with what God is given, what he's blessed you with. But here's where I want to spend some time with. But let me ask you a question. Have you been around somebody that in spite of all what you do for them, they still complain? Yes. The story is told of a man who was having his birthday or something of that sort. And his wife heard him say, man, if my wife would prepare breakfast and serve me breakfast in bed, but I would be a happy man. The wife heard that. And the wife got up early on that birthday, went in the kitchen. I mean, serve him breakfast in bed. Did the egg the way he wanted it. And when he was done, the wife asked, how is it? He said it was, there was something like there was not enough salt in the egg. How could you ever please people who are discontented with what you're doing for them? That reminds us a lot of us, how God has blessed, how God provided. And yesterday we are leaving that God and turned aside and not obeying his word. But which brings us to the third point. I want to spend time here tonight. That's the message right there. God is provoked to anger when we doubt him. God is provoked to anger when we are not contented with what he's given us. But God is provoked to anger. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 of Psalm 78. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And the conclusion in verse number 17, and they sin yet more against him by provoking the Most High God in the wilderness. We provoke God to wrath when we disobey him. And therein is the introduction. Because, I believe it's not what the things we do not know. You as a Christian, go out in the secular world and start doing something. And somebody knows you claim to be a Christian. They said, how come he claimed to be a Christian? The unsaved person will say, how come you claim to be a Christian and look at what you're doing? So even the unsaved person knows how the Christian should behave, far less the Christian. But we have a problem with rebellion and disobedience. And on that case, God can be provoked to wrath. Preacher, what happens when I'm disobedient? What happens when I disobey God? There are three things I want to share tonight, which is good. I believe what I have faced in my own life, when I am disobedient, is that God begins to bother or trouble me. Look at Psalm 51. He begins to bother you. He begins to trouble you. Psalm 51. Look at verse number 3. For what? I acknowledge my transgression. Watch this. And my sin is ever before me. You know some people who can do things that are wrong and go and sleep. People just do whatever they want and no problems. But when you do what is wrong and you are troubled about what you've done, it's good. God begins to trouble you. David said, Lord, listen, and we dealt with that at this morning. David committed sin. David committed adultery. David committed murder. But when the man of God came to David, David said, I'm sorry, I have sinned. And in that, David wrote Psalm 51. And David said, Lord, my sin is ever before me. In other words, God, you are troubling me about what I've done. Your Holy Spirit is convicting me about the things I'm doing which is wrong. It's a good thing if when you do what is wrong, that God's Holy Spirit will convict you. That is God's warning signal. You in trouble? You in trouble? You in trouble? You in trouble? Trouble lies ahead. Don't do that. Don't do that. Turn around, turn around, turn around. That's God's Holy Spirit. One of the problems we have in our world is that people don't even think, they just do anything. And help me now. How can you be saved and living in sin and sleep right? How can you claim to be a Christian possessing God's Holy Spirit and living a life of rebellion? That's difficult. You come to church and you think the preacher knows something about you? Maybe you're here right now and saying, the preacher told him something about me. Yeah, come to church and you believe the preacher has his hand all over in your face. But I've gone to preaching meetings and I'm preaching. I have no idea what's happening. And people are really uptight against me. I was at Buffalo, New York preaching, preacher. Brother Lou Gadano. That was a senior then. His dad. And I had no idea he had a church split. I didn't know. I had no idea the men, some of the men, his faithful men raised up against him. I didn't know. But I was preaching away and trying to tell people, follow your pastor, follow leadership, be faithful to God, do what's right. And I keep coming down and shaking somebody's hands all the time. And I didn't know. I had no idea. And I keep saying, do right, brother. What's your name? Josh. Do right, do right. Listen to the pastor. And while I was preaching, texts were going all over the church. The assistant pastor was sitting on the podium and somebody texted him and said, "What in the world is happening?" "I don't know. When the service was done, we went out somewhere. The assistant pastor said, "Brother, we need to talk." He started telling me some things. And guess what? The person I was shaking hands all the time was the main instigator. I don't know how many times that has happened. I don't know how many times. I'm one of these preachers who can't stay in the podium. I move around. I shake people's hand. I don't know how many times I'm preaching on a topic and I'm shaking somebody's hand, but I hope you're not doing that. And all the time, the person you're shaking their hand, they are the one. And I say, "Oh, Lord, thank God he didn't shoot me." What is it? It's God trying to get your attention.
That's right. Amen.
Is God troubling you? Is God causing you to be uncomfortable about what you're doing? Because he knows your sins. He knows you from afar off. You can't hide him. So he begins through the preaching of the word, or through a testimony, or through a song, but especially through the ministering, the preaching of the word. God begins to bring conviction to your heart. He troubles you. That's good.
Amen.
I don't know who God is trying to get attention this morning when I preach about bitterness, unforgiveness, gossip. I don't know who. But God was surely speaking to some people. By the way, if you raise your hand this morning and say, "Preacher, pray for me," there's something I need to get rid of. God was speaking to you, trying to get your attention. And you need to do something about it.
Amen.
Don't just say amen. Don't just say yes, preacher. But do something about your situation. Because if not, you'll provoke God to wrath. He bothers you. But secondly, he breaks you. Shoot. Look at verse 33. Psalm 78. Well, let's read on verse number 29. "So they did eat, were well filled, for he gave them their own," what? "Desires." And that's something. Verse 30. "They were not," what? "From their," what? "But while their meat was yet in their mouths," what happened? "The wrath of God came upon them. Slew the fathers of them, smote them, the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sin still and believe not, for his wondrous works. Therefore their days he did consume in vanity, and their years in trouble." He begins to trouble them. Then he breaks them down. Look at verse 46, verse 45. "He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs would destroy them." What is he doing? He's trying to get their attention. "He gave also their increase, the caterpillars and the labor, unto locusts. He destroyed the vines with hail. He gave the cattle through hail. God begins to break you. The things you like the most, he takes it away. You love your child more than God? God says, okay, I'll take your child. You love your husband more than God? God says, okay, I'll take your husband. Because anything in your life that takes the place of God becomes an idol to you.
Amen.
Brother, you look like you have wonderful children. Seemingly doing well. Seemingly well disciplined. But your action can cause them grief.
That's right.
If you don't obey God and stay in the will of God, they pay for it. You know how many families I've seen destroyed by the actions of the husband or the wife? You know how many families I've seen in churches, strong, fundamental, Bible-believing churches, and raising their children right, and the children are role models in society, and all of a sudden something happens in the church, and they turn aside, criticize the preacher, rise up against the preacher, rise up against the church, and they bring that same spirit into the house. What happens? The children hears mommy and daddy speaking bad against the pastor. So all restraint is gone. The children sees the dad drinking. You see, we know how to mask ourselves. We know how to live a type of life in church. And then we leave church, we become devils. God is speaking to us all the time about that type of life that we're living. Looking spiritual in church and then go home and behave like the devil. God begins to speak conviction to you when the man of God gets up to preach. And then you begin to get angry. Could I share some things with you that I've faced in the ministry? In the church I'm pastoring, wonderful families. I love them to death. But I've seen families start questioning, start rebelling in the church. I've seen families bad talking. I could give you a good illustration of a good deacon and treasure we have. He's gone home now. But his wife stood up against him. Then goes home and bad talks the preacher. You know what God did to the husband, faithful deacon? Took him. Now, none of her children are coming to church. I mean, they were faithful, they were singing, they were involved. They're not in church anymore. And she's crying now, pray for my family. 2 Sundays before I left, the son came to church for the first time. These are hard lessons God will teach us. Are we okay?
Yeah.
When you're doing what is wrong, and God speaks to you, and you're not hearing, he begins to break you down. The thing you like the most, he takes it from you. Not just the things, but the people you love the most, he takes them from you. The pleasures, the things you used to enjoy, you don't enjoy them anymore. You used to come to church and say, preach, preacher. Hey, man, preacher. Hey, man, preacher. I'm for you, preacher. I'm praying for you. Let's go. Then all of a sudden, some bitterness or something happened in your life. Something you're not doing right in your life, and God has been speaking to you and you're not hearing. God sends the preacher to talk to you and you rebuke the preacher. You don't want to hear him anymore. Other people come to you and you don't want to hear. And you come to church now and every word he says, you believe he's preaching at you. That's what has happened. I've seen happen. I'm not what's taking this in this church, but I'm telling you what I've seen happen in Ambassador. And they say, you're preaching at us now. And then they say something else. We're not being fed. Have you heard that one? Have you said that one?
Shame on me.
I'm not being fed. You know one thing I know? When you're hungry, sometime last week, preacher, we were in San Diego, and I was hungry. You know what they did? I don't eat noodles. They had, how do you call it? Lasagna. I don't eat that stuff. But I was hungry. So get what? They had garlic bread on the table. And brother, I ate garlic bread, and I ate garlic bread, and I drank juice, and I ate. That's all I had, garlic bread and juice. When you're really hungry, all you say is feed me.
That's right.
Feed me. Come on, preacher. Feed me.
Amen.
Feed me. Some of the guys enjoy the lasagna, but I don't eat lasagna. What are you complaining about in the church? Where are you at? Hello? Where you at tonight? Where you at? Are you provoking God to anger? Do you know in the Old Testament when Achan sinned? I mean, you can stay here for a while. But you know when Achan sinned? Achan wasn't thinking about his family. But you know who paid for it? His family. God begins to break you down. You don't enjoy church anymore. Brother Tony Shirley preached about filters at a conference. So we need to check our filters. Because sometimes the filter gets dirty. And people put up filters in their hearts. And I ask you, where you at tonight? Is God troubling you about something in your life? Is he speaking to you? Or has he begun the process of breaking you down? You're not enjoying church as you used to. Before you know it, you'll be gone. Let me say that again. Before you know it, you'll be gone. Because church becomes a heavy task for you. But I want to come to church and just raise my hand and praise my God. Amen. You want to come to church and enjoy church. Enjoy the preaching. Enjoy the fellowship. But God help us. I don't know what's happening here. But some people used to sit way up front. And then as things begin to develop in their life, they begin to slide backwards. I don't know what the preacher is now, but he's slide backwards. Amen. And why do you shout, amen, preacher, praise God? You preach and you could see the expression. Somebody asked me, and I heard somebody said that, why you shout when you preach? That's how I preach. Amen. But somebody said the other day, when somebody asked him, a little child asked him, why are you shouting like that when you preach? He said, if you see the face I look at every day, you would shout yourself. He begins to break you. You don't enjoy church anymore. You don't enjoy singing anymore. You used to sing. You used to go out track distribution. You used to come early. You used to be eager. You used to, but no more. God begins to break you. It's for your good. It's for my good. When God troubles me and begins to break me, it's for my good. Because the intent is always to get me back to where I'm supposed to be. There's a third point. He begins to trouble. He begins to bother you. He begins to break you. He removes the people you love. He removes the things you love. He removes the pleasure you used to feel in church. Church becomes a burden. You're now looking to work overtime, double, just to stay from church. Or if you see the preacher coming up the road, you duck him. You go elsewhere. But then lastly, if when God speaks to you, if when he troubles you, that's the God of love. If when he troubles you, he bothers you, you don't give heed. He begins to break you. Take things and pleasure and things in your life. If you still don't listen, he buries you. He buries you. Let me give you a few illustrations and God help me. Look at verse 33 again in Psalm 78. Therefore the days he did what consumed in vanity and the years in trouble. When he slew them, he slew them. He killed them. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Can we provoke God to wrath? Can we? 1 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Communion table. What are supposed to bring pleasure? What are supposed to bring good entertainment? What are supposed to bring reminders of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Turn out to be judgment. Look at verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, if he drinketh damnation to himself, not is in the Lord's body. Look at verse 30. For this cause many are what? Weak. And many are what?
Sickly.
He troubles you. He breaks you. And he buries you. Watch this. And many sleep. That word sleep means to die. Look at verse 31. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are what? Chastened of the Lord, that we should not be what? Even in death, he's chastening his own. Could I share an experience with you? You say, God don't kill people. That's what the prosperity gospel preachers preach. Just gotten saved, spent some time in Barbados, went back to St. Lucia. And I was at a church that had a no pastor. Now that's danger. A church should always have a pastor. Amen. Let me say that again. A church must have a pastor, amen, and under shepherd. Mm-hmm. When there is no under shepherd in the church, that's dangerous. So here's what happened. They were run by a board of deacons. I will preach on that some other time. But God never called the deacons to run the pastor. Right. Amen, preacher! I'll deliver that another time. By the way, while I'm at it, could all deacons stand? You have deacons, preacher? You have deacons? You have leaders there? All the leaders, please stand. All the leaders of the church, please stand. Or men, yeah. The ones the preacher turned to. Could I, even before remain standing. I will deal with that at another time. But let me just kill the devil right now. Could I do that?
Amen.
Could I do that?
Yes, please.
Brother Byron, please come. I want the church to understand that. God bless you, brother. It's wonderful that you all guys can be a help to the pastor.
Amen.
Yeah. Could I say that again?
Yeah.
Brother, you are help to the preacher.
That's right.
Brother, you are help to him.
Right.
Brother, you always serious, and I don't know where you are. But brother, you are help to the preacher.
Amen.
Brother, you are help to the preacher. Brother, you are. Yeah. But I want to make sure when I stand before God that I preach what God has asked me to preach. You are help to the preacher. Now listen, men. Never undermine the preacher.
Amen.
You know what undermine means? Trying to usurp his authority. Bad talk him to your family. Gossip about him. If y'all men are gossiping about him, what do you expect the church to do? What really are you trying to do? Is it trying to build the church or destroy it? I've faced that. And by the way, I am facing that. And it grieves me because what we're working hard for, we're destroying it. God calls, look at the scriptures, God calls a man. God places his spirit in a man. And then he gives him workers to work with him. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want to go one step forward. Sister, would you please come and stand up front? Sister Byron. Yes. God bless you. I'm going to shoot the devil. He won't like that. And he's going to attack you all, guys. Would your wife is here, brother? The wives of the men, if you happily stand. The wives of the men, if you happily stand. Sister, he's not the pastor.
I know that.
Thank you. He is not the pastor. Sister, he's. I know, I appreciate that. He is not the pastor. You understand that? He's a. Do we understand that? He's a helper to the pastor.
Amen.
Don't cause problems for yourselves by undermining the preacher. Now, I know he's not a dictator. Amen, church?
Amen.
I know he talks to you all guys. But there are times he makes the final decision. You're the husband in the house, right? It's not everything that she says that you go along with. Is that so? Do you go with everything she says? Now, you listen to her, yes? Yeah, no, shoot, God help you, brother. Let me run down here now.
Amen.
It's not everything you say you want him to go along with. Good night. Listen, the point I want to make is that sometimes in the house, you got to make some decisions.
Yeah.
And as a good husband, you talk to your wife. You should. Amen. Say A, B, C, D, F, G. But sometimes she says, no, let's go the direction. If you think what she's saying has merit, then you go along with it. I'm not against that. But finally, God will ask you about your home. not the wife.
That's right.
When God came to the garden, he did not call Eve. He called Adam.
That's right.
So every man is accountable to God for their homes. God works a matter of authority. And God places authority in the hands of somebody and holds that person accountable. And every man who's married is accountable to God for his family. Amen.
Amen.
So even though sometimes you think, well, we should have done that. And husbands say, I believe we need to go that direction. You may disagree, but he's your husband. And you go along nevertheless.
Amen.
And you don't divorce him for that. You stay in the house. Amen.
Amen.
And you love him nevertheless.
Amen.
The same with authority in the home is authority in the church.
Right.
And I've seen churches destroy. And I said that because the board of deacons will run in the church. And it caused all types of problems. Deacons or leaders are helpers. That is the Bible way. Are we okay?
Yes, we are.
Amen, brother. Now I don't know you. Amen, brother. What's your name? Yes. Amen. Amen. We are helping, but he's accountable to God. He has to give an account. And if he follows your bad advice, then you won't stand, but he has to stand. And so here's the board of deacons, and they say, this is what happened. And I saw a sister grew up in the church. She was among the first set of people to be saved in the church. She had a husband, was dead, but all her grands, the children who married, and her grands were coming and getting married in the church. And one of the grands did something that was wrong. And the men decided they'll touch him. And she stood up and said, you can't touch my grandchildren. You can't discipline them. I was here before you. So they disciplined her, rightfully so.
Right.
So the communion plate was passing, and she just put her hands and take communion without repenting. She just grabbed the glass and drink. Not many weeks after that, as of my uncle, they came and knocked about midnight. She's in hospital. She did not spend 2 weeks. She was gone. Gone. God killed her. God took her. Why? So that she should not be condemned with the world. Still chastisement. But when you get to a place where you'll bring reproach too much in the name of Christ, God takes you home. He buries you. So I ask you this question. Where are you at tonight? Where you at? Are you walking right with God? There are two things I want to do as we close. And Pastor, your wife, stay there. You may be seated. Preacher, you stay right here with your wife. I just feel that I should do that. I do that everywhere I go. Preacher, I love you in the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. You are a tremendous blessing and encouragement to me. And sister, I'm beginning to love you in the Lord. Stand with your husband. Amen. Preacher's wives are prisoners of war. Could I just talk to you? Are we okay?
Yes, please.
I believe God have just shifted the message. She's supposed to take all the nastiness you say about her husband and still love you. Are we okay?
Yes.
Are you not protective of your husband? I know you are. Don't fool around your husband. Because you'll straighten that person up. I know you, sister. How do you think she feels? So we think we can treat the pastor anyhow. And the wife has to be nicey, nicey. We think we can treat the pastor's children anyhow. And everything is nice and rosy. When you are sleeping in your bed by your husband, guess where he is sometimes? In the hospital visiting somebody else when he should be at home with his wife and family. Amen.
Amen.
You say that's his job, yeah. But have respect for that.
Amen.
And appreciate it.
Yes.
Amen. God help us. I'm just trying to follow God.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Do you love your preacher? Do you love your preacher?
Yes, I do.
Hello. Look up here. Do you love your preacher?
Yes.
I don't know what I'm going in that direction, but I'll trust God on that. Two things. If I've preached tonight and there's an area in your life God has been speaking to you about, take care of it. But there are two invitations I want to give tonight. Number one, I would like you to get up from where you are. And I'll be honest about it. Begin with the leaders first and their wives. If you have hurt your preacher, if you've said something, come one by one, hug his neck, and say you're sorry. What I'm trying to do, I'm trying to protect you. I'm a pastor myself. Amen.
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 Amen. You know what we're doing? We're shooting the devil.
Amen.
And he's mad.
Amen.
So that's what I want to do. Begin with the leaders. We just get up and come. Whether you have something against him or not, or if you said something or not, if you want to confirm your love to him, confirm your love. Say, preacher, I love you. Begin the leaders first. The leaders first. Hold on. We'll come to you just now. The leaders and their wives first. Leaders and their wives first. Would you come and hug upon your preacher? If you've done something that's odd, tell him that and say, brother, forgive me. I love you. And hug upon his wife. And say, preacher, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to support you all the way. Would you do that for God's sake? You know what you've done here tonight? We're stomping the devil. We're stomping the devil. We are stomping the devil. The devil don't like that. He doesn't like that. And then, the congregation come up. Congregation, you come up. Love upon your preacher, upon his wife. By the way, where's his children? Hold on, where are his children? The children are there. If you are children, you just come and stand by your parents. Children, would you come stand by your parents? Yeah. And then you all guys come up. Just let them know you love them and praying for them and support them. Would you do that? Yes. Go right ahead now. Go right ahead. Congregation, just go to your preacher and let him know you love him. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. 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 Could we get everyone here when that's said and done? Everyone here. Would you come and hug your preacher and shake his hand? Tell him you're praying for him. And if you've done something, tell him forgive you. kick the devil in the back. Amen. We're still in church, amen?
Amen.
And it's amazing that does not happen often in church. I will learn to appreciate each other and confess to each other. Amen. 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 Now, as you sit, let me give an invitation now. If you've been in something, God has been speaking to you about it, He's been bothering you. You have no rest nor peace. You can't sleep well. And then God begins to take some things away from you. Try to break you down so that you look to Him. Don't let it get to the point of burying you. Confess it now. Ask God to forgive you now, tonight. From the message this morning, anger, bitterness, resentment, or anything in your life that you know God has been speaking to you about, deal with it now. Because God is a gracious God. But it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Can I provoke God? Sure can. When I doubt Him, discontent about what He has done for me, when I disobey Him, He begins to bother me, He begins to break me. The last thing that happens, He buries me. And He does it in love. He does that of concern for me. Let's pray. Again, is God speaking to you? A hard message to preach.